Ramsey TV.
Did you sign up at my website, my homepage, yesterday? Did you? After the show? During the show? No? Oh, my goodness. Well, today you can still do it. Go to martinsender.com. Scroll down a little bit. On the right side of the page, you'll see sign up. You'll get any newsletters I write. You'll get information concerning like the release of the books. I mean, I'm also going to talk to you here on YouTube, but what if I'm not on YouTube anymore? What if the authorities that be kick me off? Well, it'll eventuate for good. All things work together for good. I'm not even worried about it. There are some precious saints who have saved all my shows, all my shows. You know, Rodney Paris saved all my shows. And our fellow believer, Brian Tripp, has put a lot of my shows, many of my shows on his channel on Rumble already. So we're going to be good to go, no matter what. See, none of the adversary's plans can work against us. Everything works together for our good. Isn't that great? Must frustrate the heck out of Satan. I love it whenever that happens. If you want to contribute to this work like the Philippians did for Paul, I am very appreciative of it. Many of you do so, and I can't do this without you. My sole means of support is you. And you help me to keep going. You help me personally to keep going. You help this show to keep going. You help with the technological aspects so I can buy lights and a microphone and a computer, things like that. And keep the website going also. And my sister labors also for you. My sister Kelly in Canton, Ohio. I don't give her enough credit, but she gets this show to you every day. So anybody who wants to help the operation, many ways to do it. I'll put a link down here. Help Martin do his thing, which is benefiting a lot of people. I tell you, you're backing the right horse. This work over the last 29 years has brought the truth to many, many people. I thank God for that. I'm located for this, just like Paul yesterday in verse 16 of Philippians chapter 1. Having perceived that I am located for the defense of the evangel. He was located in Rome at the time. You're located where you are. I'm located at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. It's nice to know that we are located by God. So Paul goes on now, continuing in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I am aware that for me this will be eventuating in salvation through your petitions and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in accord with my premonition and expectation. Now, this is a difficult passage. I'm not sure I know what Paul is talking about here. Some think that he had two imprisonments. His first imprisonment in Rome was this one when he's running the Philippians. He was released for a short time. Then he went back for whatever reason. But I'm not going that way. This is the way I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm right about this. But Paul says he's aware that the prayers being made on his behalf, the care, prayer rhymes with care. We know prayer doesn't change events. It doesn't. But prayer lets us touch the steering wheel on God's car. I'm aware that for me, this, meaning this location of his and the heralding and the evangel going forward more by more people with more confidence because of Paul's bonds. This will be eventuating in salvation through your petition and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in accord with my premonition and expectation. Now, I don't think he has a premonition or an expectation he's going to be released, because I think he explains it right after this. Listen, what do you think? In accord with my premonition and expectation, that in nothing shall I be put to shame. That's his premonition. That's his expectation. In nothing will I be put to shame. One would think that getting one's head chopped off by the Romans would be shameful. But Paul says, because of me being located here, and because of the grace coming from you, my fellow believers in Philippi, I know that I don't need to be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, as always, now also. There it is. As always, Paul says, you know me. I've always done this. I've always heralded to live as Christ. This is my assignment. This is my calling from God and Christ. But even now, it's also my assignment from God and Christ, because there are many who are ashamed of Paul's bonds. Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of me and the evangel. I mentioned this. I talked about this in Richmond. Why would somebody potentially be ashamed of Paul and his gospel? Because the guy's in jail. But he was not in jail for doing wrong. He was in jail because of the jealousy of the Jews. And he actually requested to go to Rome to stand trial, because the Jews were going to kill him. If he didn't go to Rome, he would have been killed. How about that? Saved by the heathen from the religious people. Reminds me of a saying. I like it. Should be on a t-shirt. It probably is. It says, Lord, save me from your fan club. I say the same thing. Lord, save me from your fan club. Save me from the people who worship the pop icon Jesus, who walk according to flesh and who are jealous of the truth. Jealous of the success of an evangelist who is heralding the truth. Now, forget about it. In nothing will we be put to shame. But with all boldness, as always, now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. This is a bold statement, because Paul's going to say here, coming up, and I'm going to get to this on this show, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. Now, don't get any crazy ideas that Paul was saying that when he dies, he's going to be with the Lord. He's not. But many people twist the following passage to say that. It doesn't say it. With all boldness, as always, as you've always known me to do, now also, crazy enough, in jail, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. How would Christ be magnified in Paul's death? Because Paul would become a martyr for the sake of the truth. And that would embolden even more people. It's emboldened the hell out of me. Martyrhood's a great way to get famous. Oh, yeah. Dying for a cause, giving your life, giving everything for the sake of a cause, it advances the cause. And the people who kill you think they're ending the thing, but they're not. They're only furthering it, because now you become, and in Paul's case, he's become an icon, really. He's become a representative of the evangel, and to the extent that he gave his very life for it. And that emboldens other people. Well, go look what Paul did. He gave it everything. I'm going to give everything. Just like Paul telling the Philippians that his bonds have come to be for the furtherance of the evangel. That inspired them to be fearless. Now, if they see their apostle die in prison, which they did, they didn't literally see him, but they knew of it, that emboldened them. Say, maybe we can give our life for the evangel. I think this way sometimes. What a noble way to die for the sake of the evangel. So Christ shall be magnified in my body, says Paul, whether through life or through death. For to me, to be living is Christ. Everything is Christ. To be living, ongoing, incomplete verb form is Christ. Everything Paul did was Christ. Whether he was eating cornflakes in the morning, going to the crapper, or heralding to the guards in Rome, to live is Christ. or that he was having soulish desires or whatever. It was all in Christ. There was no speed bumps to Paul. There were no compartments in life like we used to do in the Catholic Church. Oh, here's our spiritual life. Here's our religious life. Now we have our regular life. That's the way it felt to me when I was in Catholic Church. You got your Catholic Church life, and then you get out of there, and now you can live your regular life. Oh, great. And my dad, I loved it when this happened. We'd pass the McDonald's on the way home from St. Joan of Arc Catholic Church in Canton, Ohio. The McDonald's is still there. They did revamp it, but. And my dad sometimes would pull into that driveway. I was like, oh, man, yes, hamburger, french fries, and milkshake. That was my staple as a kid. Hamburger, french fry, and milkshake. But you couldn't get that stuff till you got out of church. Church, nobody ever thinks of hamburger, french fries, and milkshake. Never. You have a church life and your regular life. No. To live is Christ. To be living is Christ. I vote. If people have to go to church, I vote for fast food in the churches. Why not? Fast food. Junk food. Hamburgers, french fries, and milkshake. There shouldn't be any speed bump when you go from your so-called spiritual life to your regular life. All life is Christ. So to be living is Christ, and to be dying, gain. This is where people get the idea that Paul is saying that when he dies, it's gain. In other words, Paul's going to, but they're reading into this. What's Paul going to gain? Or he doesn't even say that he's going to gain, does he? To be living is Christ, to be dying, gain. He doesn't say gain to me. Who is it gain for? Well, who is the person for whom Paul is living? Christ. He's a slave of Christ. It's gain for Christ, for the sake of Christ, for the name of Christ, that this man was willing to give everything for the sake of the evangel. That speaks volumes. He knows that. Paul knows that his death will be gain for the cause of Christ. It's not gain for him personally. He's going to be freaking dead. Hey, and he's dead now. The Apostle Paul's still dead. Spoiler alert. The Apostle Paul's still dead. And look at this. We're talking about him 2,000 years later. How amazing is that? We're talking about this guy 2,000 years later. He died 2,000 years ago. I would say that his death was gain. Not that if he was still alive today, he wouldn't be making converts, but it's gain for us. It's gain for me, because now I can do what Paul was doing. Using him as an example, as an inspiration, as many of you also do, to be living in flesh. All right, here we go. For me to be living is Christ, to be dying gain. Now, if it is to be living in flesh, this to me means fruit from work. So as long as the guy's living, he's going to be writing letters. He's going to be talking to people. He's never going to shut up about his gospel. And what shall I be preferring? I am not making known. There's another place where people screw this up, and this is a translation issue. What am I preferring, death or life? Okay, that's the question. What am I preferring? I am not making known. Yet I am being pressed out of the two. The King James says, I am in a strait betwixt the two. No, betwixt is not a candy bar. Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. In other words, the King James makes it seem like Paul is making a choice between life and death. And there's a lot of technical issues in why the Concordant translation is the preferable translation. It's the right translation. I'm not going to get into those details. It's exhaustive. But A.E. Nock, the translator of the Concordant version, wrote a lengthy article about this, which, of course, I read. Here's the Concordant translation. Instead of I'm in a strait betwixt the two, I am being pressed out of the two. Weird wording, I know. This is the scriptures. It's inspired. I am being pressed out of the two. In other words, I'm not deciding for life or death. I'm not deciding that it's better for me to stay alive. I'm not deciding that. I'm not even going to decide if it's better for me to die so that I can be a martyr and the cause of Christ can be advanced. Paul's saying, I'm being pressed out of both of these options, having a yearning for the solution. What's the solution to his problem? And to be together with Christ. The solution. The solution is to be together with Christ. The solution of this dilemma, do I choose between life and death? I'll tell you what, I'm not choosing either one of them. I don't want to continue in this life necessarily because this life is dirty and tiring and generally sucks. I'm not preferring death either because the dead don't know anything. I can't do any work when I'm dead. I'm being pressed out of these two choices. And the solution is to be together with Christ. And when are we going to be together with Christ? At the snatching away. This is Paul telling us that his desire is to be with Christ. Don't want to be alive. Don't want to be dead. I'm the same way. I don't want to continue to live this life. I'm sick of it. I don't want to die either. I'll be honest with you. But what I prefer, the solution for me, is to be together with Christ. And at snatching away, this is exactly what's going to happen. Paul continues, for the solution and to be together with Christ, for it rather is much better. It is much better. What's much better? That the dead in Christ will be rising first. Thereafter, we the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, will at the same time be snatched away in a moment, in an atomos, uncuttable time, at the tossing of an eye toward Christ. And we shall be changed, and we shall be made immortal, never to die again, and we will be ever together with the Lord. That is preferable to either life or death. That's Paul's choice, and it ought to be ours as well.